Welcome to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 90s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, and this is Freed on Business.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Freed on Business. We've got a great show for you today. I'm wearing all my PPE gear here because we're going to talk about personal protection for you, your family, your community. I'm even putting on my mask, my gloves, and my goggles and my face shield. All right. We've got a great team here that we're going to talk to about this. We've got Reagan Marek and Nelson Barbosa. They're here from Kent Services. We're also going to have Glenn Lerner on. We're going to talk about how you can get some recovery from the insurance world on all this and protect yourself. It's going to be a big show. It's going to be all about you. Reagan, welcome to the show. Nelson, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having us.
It's our absolute pleasure. I'm getting all ungeared here. It takes forever to put the gear on and then take it off. So while I'm unmasking, Reagan, take us to break. We'll be right back with Freed on Business, with Kent Services, the whole hour. We're going to talk about protecting you, your family, your real estate, and our community. Back after this. Remind everybody that we are South Florida's longest running business talk show, entering our 13th year. And for the last 8 years, our main sponsor has been Warren Henry. The folks at Kent Services know Warren Henry because they're across the street. So when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. They've got their new store up at 151st and Biscayne, right outside of FIU North. They've got great service specials. Go see my friend Mae Stark. She's up there. She'll give you a great service. In Gainesville, they sell Audis. Down in Key West, they sell all the great cars. And what do they have in common? Well, they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. And that includes complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and the 72-hour exchange. You can take a full 3 days to be certain you'll love your Warren Henry vehicle. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian, along with a whole bunch of my friends. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best service, always the best price, always Warren Henry. And level win if you give me a call at 305-773-6300 or email me jim@freedonbusiness. I can help you with capital for your real estate. I'm helping all my friends get new mortgages on their home while mortgages are still available. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks with Casey Conway. But if you're planning on financing your home, you better start right now. Call me at 305-773-6300, helping one friend pull $350,000 out of his $2 million home. I'm helping another friend minimize his monthly payments by $1,500 a month, better than a stimulus check. Give me a call. Another friend is helping his son buy a home. Do it now. The economy is changing. Call me now, 305-773-6300. Bridge loans for commercial, got that too. So call me, because when you call me, it's all about you.
Welcome back to Freed on Business. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at Jim Fried or at Fried on Business, and on Instagram at JimFried1. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
We are back, and we've been joined by Glenn Lerner. Glenn Lerner is our resident business interruption, commercial litigation, all-around post-COVID legal expert. We're joined with Megan Marek and Nelson Barbosa of Kent Securities. They will talk to us about what to do in your building if you want to prevent or have had a COVID-19 incident. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. I want to let Reagan start off. Reagan, tell me a little bit about what you and Kent have put together, and then let's turn it over to Nelson to see what he's finding as he drives around the state.
Thanks, Jim. Again, thank you so much for allowing us to be on your show and spread a little bit about the word of what we're doing. We have put together a task force, obviously, that was put together because of this fantastic pandemic that we're going through. And our goal is to help people, and we've really targeted in on a few different areas that we believe people do need our help with. One being with overall security, the potential need to upgrade that security and how you should go about it, which I'm excited that Nelson is on the phone with me. And then the other is reopening your amenities and buildings. Now, I know when we originally set up this this show, obviously a lot has changed over the last 3 weeks or so. So, you know, that's an ever-evolving topic. And we look forward to speaking to you about whether it's now or down the line, what you should be doing to protect yourself and minimizing the spread of COVID in your building.
No, that's great. There's everything from tension at the elevator door to what happens in the gym to can we go swimming. And in my building, I look to the left, their common areas are shut down. I look to the right, they're rocking and rolling. There's no rhyme or reason. But let's talk a little bit about Nelson and what Nelson brings to the table.
Good afternoon or good morning. Again, I'm right now traveling throughout the state. I'm right now in Tampa. My job is to make sure that everything is based on safety, security, and of course, a lot of training. I've loved in training. So what I do notice is the fact that, you know, things, for at least for a while, may not get any better. So we have got to be ready, not only in terms of, you know, having our officers trained, well-trained, but also understand that things everywhere, especially in condominiums, state buildings, major locations where there is a huge concentration of people, we have got to be ready in all aspects, not only in terms of security and having people see what's going on, observe what's going on, report what's going on, but also in terms of making sure that our places are fully sanitized and be ready to prevent anything to continue to prolong just the way it is right now. We and security have got to understand that we have got to be the eyes and ears of almost everyone that needs our help. And I suggest at this point, a lot of people do need our help because they're not going to get better. People are getting frustrated being inside the homes, and sooner or later, people may come out and they may, you know, display aggression in one way or the other. So we have got to be ready in terms of security and also obviously keep everyone safe.
Well, we know that people are cooped up. We know that they're getting aggressive. I see it in my building. You see it when the elevator door opens up. Now, I want to ask Glenn a question. Yeah. Glenn, let's say that a building or a commercial venue has had a COVID-19 case reported within them. They've had to shut down. They call a group like Kent to secure the facility and start to clean it. But there are also legal ramifications when COVID has made an appearance in a property. Can you talk about that a little?
I mean, just as a business owner, I mean, we've had multiple instances of employees. You know, we have 28 offices in 9 states. We've had multiple incidences of our employees contracting COVID. Every time it's happened, we've had to shut down the office. If it was actually diagnosed within 24 hours. Some of them had been home for a week plus when we found out that they had the COVID. So we would still do a cursory cleaning to just to make everybody confident. But if someone had recently been in the building and you find that they had had COVID, then you have to obviously have a professional cleaning done. That's up to the CDC guidelines. And I mean, it is what it is. I mean, well, listen, it's certainly been a party for everybody.
Listen, you brought up a very good point, and that's what people have to do with the HR process of having personnel on the front lines. You know, you have offices where people walk in all the time, lots of meetings and conferences. So guys from Kent, Reagan, Nelson, what should be going to the HR process on the front line people? What should we know about that?
Well, Jim, if I may just take it a step back, you know, for a second there, you spoke about what happens when someone is diagnosed with COVID, you know, bringing in cleaning squads, speaking to attorneys. We also like to focus on the proactive side and, you know, taking the steps prior. So you bring up HR. HR is a great section of that. You know, you should have a plan in place so that, because it's going to happen. It's not if, it's when, right, at this point. We're far along, far enough down the line to know that. Specifically with associations like your building and so forth, I think it's very important that you speak to your attorney, you speak to your insurance agent, you speak to your management company, and you make a combined decision, number one, whether you're going to open things or not, and number two, how you're going to go about it, how you're going to enforce it. From an HR perspective, obviously, here at Kent, and I'd be curious to hear what Nelson says. Would love to have Liz Martis, the director of HR, on the phone for this type of question. But there are very strict guidelines in place for proactive and reactive measures.
Jim, can I interject for 1 second? And you are absolutely correct. I mean, this is called the novel coronavirus. And unfortunately, for any business owner, anybody in government, this is novel. This is something that is so new to all of us. How do you deal with something like this? So the only thing you can do as a business owner, as a government entity, is to try to follow all the CDC guidelines. If required to wear masks in a certain state, you wear your masks when you go in, you walk around the office. In your own private office, if you don't have to wear it, you don't wear it. But you enforce all the recommended CDC guidelines. And in terms of HR, that's all you can do. You can try to be as proactive as possible. Now, I think the rub lies in when you do have an incident, which ultimately I think almost every business is going to experience. And the truth is, so many of us don't even know that people have had it. And, you know, we had a breakout because once they opened up the city, a group of our employees went out together and they just went out to have dinner one night and every one of them got it. No one had gotten anything in the office, but we had this little pod of people that end up having it. So now you have to go back. You got to trace everybody they've had contact with, and you're doing everything as responsibly as you can. But this is new to all of us.
Glenn,
you're right. Sorry, it is a new concept for all of us. However, by this time, it's been already a few months. We know enough to know that no one should wait to start something anew based on all the facts that we know so far, including the CDC guidelines and everything else. I think the best way to prevent any legal issues, and again, I'm not an attorney, but to prevent any legal concept of problems against any business let's say home association, whatever, is to simply be able to demonstrate what is done on a daily basis to maintain the place totally sanitized, to follow all the rules such as social distancing, the masks, and everything else. So in other words, do not wait until it is too late and somebody files a complaint legally. Start showing, proving that you are doing everything possible to maintain your location, your business, your properties as sanitized as possible.
Well, we have Jim. You know, we have roughly 500 employees all over the place, and the great thing about this is it's let us all know that people are able to work kind of like this the way we are right now here on this Zoom. And so, what we've allowed people, if you are comfortable coming into the office, come into the office. If you're not comfortable coming into the office, don't come into the office. If you want to wear a face mask in your own private office, wear it. If you're not comfortable with it, but we're doing everything to accommodate our people, get them away from their fears, keeping all CDC guidelines in place in any public forum, in any public spaces. But ultimately, this has to be up to the individual as well. But you still have to have accountability in the workforce. So you still have to have all these policies and procedures in place for them to do their work, yet still have their fears assuaged. You know, people are scared right now.
If I may add to that, you spoke about the ordinances. And as Nelson said, we're not lawyers. We'll leave that to you.
I just played on TV.
No problem. But, you know, ordinances are the minimums that you can do. That doesn't mean you can't do more. And, you know, in our opinion, obviously, we don't like to use the word prevent. We like to use the word minimize, because to prevent the spread is almost impossible. We like to talk about it in a multi-factor approach. For instance, I'm in the Kent offices today. When I walk in here, I have to go through a thermal camera. The thermal camera checks my temperature. That's step one. Then there's a sanitizer station before I actually go into the door that I have to clean my hands. So now at least we've confirmed I don't have an elevated temperature. My hands are now clean. It makes sure that I'm wearing my mask, which I am at all times. So there's, you know, the policies and procedures are good. The proactive steps that you take are important, but you have to have a plan for, you know, when things do happen, which they will. You will have positive cases.
Not only that, but with the thermal devices, you cannot really go inside the office unless you are at least for sure wearing a mask. It will not let you come in. So you have got to wear the mask at all times while you're inside the premises.
Hold on. I'd like to take a quick break, sell a couple cars, then come back. And there's a real important thing I want to talk about here. It's the difference between living in a condo and living in a rental building. It's the same physical experience, but it's a dramatically different community experience. I'm giving you a couple minutes to think about that, guys. We'll be right back after this. Kicking it to Mendoza. Rock the place, Mendoza. Where I remind everybody, this is South Florida's longest running business talk show. You're with Freed on Business. I'm Jim Freed. Our sponsor, Warren Henry, has been with us for 8 years. I want to thank Larry, Warren, and the whole team. I want to let everybody know they should go to their new store at 151st and Biscayne in front of FIU North. Go meet my friend May Stark. She keeps our cars incredible. She's the top service person there. They've got great specials on everything. And remember, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to give every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry. Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. They're all great cars. And up in Gainesville, they sell Audi. They've got a store in Key West that's got all of them. They're all great cars, and they all come with the Warren Henry advantage. That means you get a complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and the 72-hour exchange. They'll give you 3 days to try out your car. If you don't like it, you can swap it out. And I've been there. The place is clean as a whistle. They've got all the protocols in place. It's tremendous. So join me, my mom, my beautiful wife, Vivian, and a lot of my friends. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
Carlson from Carlson Integrated. You know, a lot of our clients find that they can do anything, but not really everything. We are always excited to jump in and help. So whether you need another set of hands for a project or even comprehensive marketing management, our team of marketing mavens would love to have a conversation with you to see if we are the right fit. We do everything from logo and design work to email outreach and social media to writing and thought leadership. And here's a fun one. We are now offering our fabulous ebook of top 10 marketing tips on our website for free. So head over to carlsonintegrated.com and grab a copy today. And please always let us know how we can help. My email is Becca, that's B-E-K-A-H at carlsonintegrated.com. That's B-E-K-A-H at carlsonintegrated.com.
That's tremendous. Well done, Reagan. Oh man, Becca, you could hear her smile in that voice. Hey everybody, if I can help you, give me a call at 305-773-6300 right now. Help a lot of friends do some residential mortgages. Also got some bridge loans cooking. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. If you need capital, I've got it. Why call me? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
Welcome back to Freed on Business. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at Jim Freed or at Freed on Business. And on Instagram at JimFreed1. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we have got a tremendous lineup. We've got Reagan Marok. He's with Kent Services. So is Nelson Barbarossa. We're talking Barbosa. I knew that was going to come out wrong. Sorry. I'm so sorry, Nelson. I've been saying Barbarossa. I don't know why. Nelson Barbosa, who's got a great track record with a whole bunch of federal agencies, and he's going to talk to us about keeping us secure. We've got Glenn Lerner keeping us honest, and he's our legal expert on all this stuff. And we're going to start with what's the difference between condos and rental buildings. We already laid everything out about how you got to have all kinds of protocols and stuff. But Reagan, you know, I live in a rental building, and it's different than living in a condo building. Help me out here. Tell me what the differences are.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Jim. Nelson, myself, and the rest of the task force were on the phone with the managing partner of a large management firm the other day. And we were asking him, are you opening up your amenities? And, you know, they're condo buildings. They're not rental properties. And he said, you know, in downtown Miami, in Edgewood, in those areas, there's so many renters that you almost have to treat the building as a rental building when you're making these kind of decisions. Renters don't really care. They see things differently than owners do. They tend to be pushing a little bit more to reopen the amenities. I mean, in downtown Miami, renters love to use the gym. They love to use the pool. It's part of the pool that they, you know, that they move to those type of buildings. As a whole, I look at rental properties and condo buildings the same way. You need to go through the procedures, the proper steps. You need to talk to your attorney. You need to talk to your insurance agent. You need to work with management. And then you need to work with a task force like ours. You want to get, in my opinion, a legal letter on file before you open up any of your amenities. Just to have it, not saying, and again, I'm not a lawyer, that that's going to protect you, but it shows good business judgment. And you want to do everything. You want to have your ducks lined up. And I agree with Nelson. You want to be able to sign off every day that you've sanitized to the best of your ability. You want to, whether it's rental or a condo building, you want to kind of follow the same steps.
Okay, that's great. Now I want to talk, maybe Nelson can help and maybe Glenn can help on this. My building, I live right next to the highway. It was a famous location here in South Florida when they were doing the Black Lives Matter protests. It seemed like every night they were meeting out here and having some kind of confrontation. Let's start with Nelson. Nelson, what can a business owner do in these times to make sure that they're fully protected, if something occurs in their neighborhood? And then I want to get to Glenn. Glenn, I want to talk to Glenn about what if something happened. So Glenn, get ready for that. Nelson, how can I stop something from happening? How can I get prepared for something that if it happens so that I can make sure that I get the best result afterwards?
I think the first thing that they should do is, at least if anything, contact us and let us just take a walk through the facility, through the property. Let us pinpoint details or things that we may see that may be able to, you know, assist them or at least prevent anything seriously from happening to their properties. And of course, by that I mean also their tenants, their landlords or whoever resides at a particular location or business. At the same time, I think it's important that not to wait until something does happen, like when it, you know, like the Black Lives Matters protests that took place where a lot of things actually happened during that time. They should at least be able to know that if somebody is securing the place, if somebody is at least looking at the camera system, somebody is at least writing, documenting what actually happened, it gives something to hold on to rather than not having anything at all. So you want to always have evidence. You want to have proof that you have done everything possible to secure your facility, and at the same time, understand that in the event that there is any type of accusation or demand against you as a business, you have done everything possible, not just the part about sanitation, but the part about keeping your business, your property, your tenants, your owners secure as much as possible by being able to see something and document something. And that's normally done by officers from, like I say, officers that we have in our own company. But at the same time, you know, we are responsible for at least making sure that we can at least look at your facility and take and give you some updates, some ideas that may help you out.
Now, Glenn, somebody's property got harmed. Either they were closed during the riots, even though they were supposed to be able to be open, or they had damage. Seems to me like these people need to call a firm like yours. Got to unmute Glenn there. Hold on.
Gosh, okay.
There you go. Sorry.
Are you talking about they were hurt because they were not able to operate, or they weren't open because of the COVID, or they actually sustained physical damage due to a riot or something like that? I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Yeah, the social unrest. If somebody was impacted by social unrest, isn't that a cause, business interruption or other claims?
Yes, certainly. I believe that should be covered by the insurance. You know, one of the things, obviously, is, you know, we've been discussing the business interruption claims for businesses that have lost huge money as a result of, you know, COVID-19. This has certainly impacted the vast majority of businesses in America. The prediction is 40 to 50% of all restaurants in America will remain shuttered long term. Obviously, restaurants got destroyed, but a number of other businesses, we're just going to see a complete shift in the way our economy functions going forward. Right now, the litigation is beginning to see whether or not these cases, not talking about, you know, people throwing rocks through windows with that's going to be covered. That's covered by your insurance policy. But whether or not there was actual physical damage because somebody in your building had COVID-19, when we talk to businesses around the country, helping them with their COVID-19 business interruption claims, that's one of the questions we ask. Have any of your employees contracted COVID-19? Was anybody on here? Because the number one, besides the virus exclusions in the policy, that's the number one reason why insurance companies are denying these. Insurance companies are denying every one of these across the board nationwide. They will not pay one policy. The insurance lobbies already said we're not paying one policy. They've taken, you know, they've dug their heels in. So if you have a clause in your contract that specifically references a virus exclusion, it's going to be difficult to get compensated. It just depends on how that virus exclusion is worded. Some of them are referenced as microbe or microorganism exclusion. So there could be some leeway there. But if there is no exclusion, then we believe that there's a cause of action that you can go after them. Now they're going to argue, well, now there's no physical damage to the property. Where's the broken window? Where's the building collapse? Just because this little itsy bitsy microorganisms on the property. But we know what's happened because of this. So now you have the big fight here is going to be what takes precedence, this physical damage clause or the civil authority clause. And that's what we're looking at nationwide. At the end of July, there's going to be some decisions and some stuff happening in Chicago that's going to kind of set the tempo for where this litigation's going long term. You know, we're representing a lot of big businesses around the country, and it's incredible what people have lost due to this. It breaks your heart. I mean, I think for any of us, you know, these are still our brothers and sisters, no matter what. If it's Joe's restaurant, Jose's restaurant, doesn't matter. And these are people that are just trying to make ends meet and feed their families and take care of their community. And they've been closed forever now. Yeah, and it's just tough. It's tough to see.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
The people watching online, Reagan and Nelson, wanted to know if you're using artificial intelligence and if there's going to be a next gen to the thermal imaging. It seems that it may be sufficient up till now, but it may not be long term. I know I use an oximeter rather than the thermal imaging.
The thing with the thermal imaging is the fact that if you have a group of people all coming in at the same time into your facility, okay, you may not know who in there may have a high fever, something that can then go ahead and be transmitted to others. So what you want to do is you want to be able to distinguish not just one person, but who in that particular group is the one that may have to be removed. I mean, it may be too late if you let them come in from the beginning, but if possibly, you may have to remove them right away, and they have got to understand that. You as a business have got to set a policy that if you even consider the fact that you have a fever, high fever, and possibly the, COVID-19, you have got to either be removed or just simply ask to be, to leave the place. But you can only determine that if within that group itself, you know which one it is that it has a fever. And sometimes it's very difficult to tell unless you have, like I said, like a thermal device that tells you exactly who in that group has the fever, the high fever.
Jim, if I can add to that, sure. We about 5 months ago started looking at thermal technology. We spoke to some of the big companies out of Texas, companies that had technology with AI that searched for weapons and the thermal, obviously. And, the thermal we're using that we selected was because of its availability, number one, and number two, its affordability. Because some of the technologies that's out there that's being purchased by Amazon and by Ford, it has much bigger capabilities, but it's just not affordable. What you said you use, Jim, that's fantastic. I mean, it's great that at a minimum you're using that. We obviously recommend the thermal cameras you put on the wall because unfortunately at a business or in a condo, you can't always have someone standing at the door with the hand thermometer. So by putting that on the wall or having the more advanced system, it kind of self-serves itself when people come in and it alerts management if someone has an elevated temperature.
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to take a quick break here. Then we're going to come back. Can you guys stick around and do another segment with me? Yes?
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Good. Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, great. Reagan Mendoza, take it away. Let's come right back as soon as we can because we've got great guests.